Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. At a recent Cobourg Council meeting, a debate ignited over the hiring of additional police officers. This led to a tense discussion about public safety and the 2024 budget. With community safety a hot topic around the council chambers and on the street, it is creating a lot of strong emotions in and outside Victoria Hall. On today's show, both the police and the 2024 Cobourg budget are front and center. First, you will hear from Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Since he arrived in 2024, the number of officers has not changed. He asked for 6 new officers in his 2024 budget submission, but the Police Services Board approved only 4. The chief will shed light on his request and the resulting debates. He will also review the rest of the police budget, along with his thoughts on the new home for Transition House at 310 Division Street. Before that, he will talk about repeat offenders. A new provincial grant program was announced last week. Since this is one of his pet peeves, the chief has lots to say about bail reform. I'm delighted to have returning once again Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff to Consider This Northumberland. Welcome back, Chief.
Always a pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
The provincial government announced last week it is spending $24 million over 3 years to help stop repeat and violent offenders from reoffending while out on bail. Can you tell us, what is this new bail compliance warrant apprehension grant program and how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, I think whenever we have a conversation about this, I think it's always important to draw our memories back to Constable Grigoris Petrola from the OPP, who was tragically murdered. And that really put this, although it was already in the eyes of government and it was already from Chiefs of Police and Police Association of Ontario, this bail compliance thing has been a bane of our existence, if you will. But that murder really, really drove home that change has to happen. And in my 33 plus years in the business, I've never seen anything move so fast. And Commissioner Carrick of the Ontario Provincial Police deserves a ton of credit, and as does the PAO. But what this really means is that Ontario is supporting police services and Chiefs of Police in enabling us to effectively manage violent offenders who are in the community on bail. And we're not suggesting for a moment that people don't deserve bail. I've been heard and quoted many times as saying that I truly believe there is space for people to be on bail. But when you have violent offenders in our community repeatedly violently offending, as we did in Cobourg, where we arrested somebody with a gun at a traffic stop who was out on bail for violent robbery offenses in the Peel region, things had to change. And unfortunately, the death of a police officer was the instrument of that change, but we're happy to have it.
You have mentioned many times your frustration with the local situation with repeat offenders. Could you reiterate some of the concerns you have raised in the past?
Yeah, like, let's be really clear. The federal government has knocked down to the provinces what the intention of pre-judicial sentence. In other words, doing jail time before you've been sentenced or been heard in trial. And I understand it. And our jails are overrepresented from Indigenous persons or persons from racialized communities. I'm not debating that. But what I'm saying is that the latter approach that everyone applies to this, which is simply you start here and every step of the ladder should be less opportunities for someone to be in the community awaiting for their trial to occur. And what we had locally was not violent offending, more than property offending. So although the change in bail compliance is very important and welcomed, it is really dealing with violent offenses. What we really see locally is a lot of property offenses, and we're putting people before the courts for just preying on our community in thefts and break-and-enters time and time and time again, and they're just being released. And this hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. And as recent as within the last 2 months, we actually had somebody we arrested for a break-and-enter. He was on all sorts of charges and conditions. I mean, sorry, not to be out after 10 o'clock at night, not to be... And actually, when he went to bail hearing, he came out of the bail hearing with less conditions. So the system definitely needs to have its eyes on. And the other really nice part about this grant is this bail dashboard that's now going to be available to police services across the province of Ontario. That is going to be so important, as we obviously live in a world where we don't know the boundaries of crime and criminals don't know the boundaries of municipalities.
You were talking earlier about the distinction between what this grant is going to do and then what the local situation is doing. Let's start with the grant program. Does this grant program provide a solution in your mind? Is this solving a real problem for this community?
100%. I truly believe what this the provincial government's funding has done on this is it's taken a individualized approach to bail compliance. And they've created a provincial dashboard that creates a universal space for every service, regardless of size. So whenever you have that kind of consistency, it does make us stronger as a law enforcement community. So that is really, really important. The bugs and how the dashboard will work are still yet being worked out. And we have our friends at the Ontario Provincial Police, the Toronto Police Service, and Durham Regional Police Service, who are just hammering out the last bits of information. But it's going to be really nice to have this dashboard on the hands of our officers on their smartphones that they're issued as part of their duty, as part of their equipment. So to really be able to understand who's who and what's happening and what conditions exist. And so this is really important. And I'm so happy this is part of this, a principal section of this funding.
I'm sure for most listeners, the bottom line is this going to make our community safer? What's your response?
Listen, when we're dealing with transient people who are coming into the community to prey on our vulnerable people through crime, it's important that my people have all of the tools that they have available. And having this dashboard, so at a traffic stop, we can run this person quickly in a dashboard to see, although they're not in our community, but they're in the provincial dashboard. It's just another set of analytic tools that are going to make our people that much keener, which in turn makes our community that much safer.
Now, the other part of your concern is bail conditions around property crimes. And you say this is an issue for us in this community. What do you see needs to happen in order to address this issue, because it is so prevalent for us?
Yeah, so this is where what happens is when we have these repeat offenders, and I've been very vocal on this for years, but continually we hear from various social media sites and blogs and different things that the police always let them go. The end of the day, government's got to step in on this. Government has to create a change to the legislation that, like baseball has three strikes for a reason. It seems to work, right? Like three strikes, you're out, kind of thing. And again, I'm not opposed to anybody being given an opportunity, and I believe that's justified. But when people are willfully ignoring their conditions day after day after day, and the local judiciary are just ignoring the conditions and just are writing them off as unimportant, it really discredits what the great work my officers do. In fact, the pressure on the officers to complete a bail compliance package for a court the following day after a midnight shift is a lot of work. It's time taken off the road. It's that administrative time where officers are sitting behind keyboards. And to have the justice of the peace just throw them out within 20 minutes, it's just not acceptable.
I hear your frustration, but I guess what I was asking you is, what is the solution? What has to happen? What has to change?
There has to be a reconsideration of Bill C-75. The latter approach as presented in that bill has to be applied, and justices of the peace need to be instructed on how to manage that.
The LaSalle Police and the Windsor Police have received a $2.2 million grant from this program. And the Chatham-Kent Police have also just got $1.2 million. Has Coburg requested similar funds?
Yeah, in this particular grant funding, we look at every opportunity to receive grant fundings, and we didn't apply for this one because we didn't feel we had the capacity to really live in the space of bail violent crime. We examined what our needs are, and we believe it's important to apply for those grants that have the greatest impact.
Well, speaking of money, the police service recently submitted its 2024 budget with a $10.9 million operational budget. That's a 6.3% increase over last year. One of the more interesting items on the budget is the hiring of new recruits. You asked for 6 and the police board approved 4. Can you explain the request and your justification for the additional officers?
Yeah, so this is a difficult opportunity, right? And I understand in small communities, a 6.3% increase is substantial. And we also know that policing is probably, I know that policing in Coburg is the single largest bucket, if you will, of expenses to the taxpayer. But over the last year, I have gone and met formally with members of our community across town halls, 2 major town halls, 1 very small neighborhood. I have received countless emails, phone calls, concerns, stops on the street, saying we need more, we want more. We need to be more present, more visible. Our downtown action patrol this summer and the encampments throughout the summer months increased violent crime. It really spoke to the men and women who serve this community with such pride and integrity are at capacity. So really it comes down to this. When I came to Coburg in 2014, we had about 5,200 calls for service that year. Once we do our final cleanup and everything of our database, we're going to be at about 13,500 calls in 2023, which is about 136% increase. With the exception of that grant funding that we just spoke about, we have had 0 increase in the complement of the Coburg Police Service. So we were at 34 officers. The grant let us increase to 36, and that's been the only increase. You put on top of that the 800 new homes that are coming. And then you layer on top of that the investigative complexity. And I've used this example at council and I've used it before. When I started in 91, the simple theft of a wallet was just that. It was a report. Paul Vandergraaf's wallet was stolen. I would tell that victim to report it to the Visas or MasterCards to cancel the cards and then go through the process of trying to do your best to replace your cards. And that would be the extent of that investigation. With technology now, we know that when wallets or purses are stolen, we know that the debit cards through the TAP program, that debit cards and credit cards are being used within 20 minutes of theft before the person even knows that they're gone. We know that increase in online ordering is happening very quickly and being delivered to central locations. So what that means for the officer is that simple theft of a wallet case now means we have to go to 3 or 4 stores for video footage. We have to track down these Amazon packages or whatever other packages. We have to go to businesses to try to get their videos. So the simple complexity of these calls for service drag out the length of it. We spoke about bail and violent crime. We talked about the plight. We've had 2 shootings now and a year, one in each year. That is an investigative complexity. So what we felt to address what the citizenry were telling me at meetings, to address the ability for my people to be truly supported. Because right now, when you're always working at minimum staffing levels, we know the risk on our members is too high from the mental health capacity. So we put a very strong case forward for 6 officers. The board deliberated that with great diligence, as is to be expected of the board, with lots of reasonings back and forth and trying to balance all of the implications. And they agreed on 4 new officers for 2024. And again, I wanted 6. Everyone wants to make a story that the chief's unhappy and he wanted 6. He only got 4. Listen, that's 4 more than I had last year. So I'm ecstatic to have those 4 new officers join us.
Did you discuss this with Mayor Lucas Cleveland prior to the council debate coming up? Were you aware that he was interested in pushing for the 6?
I wasn't prepared for that debate. I did have a conversation with our worship in relation to this and several other issues. But again, I truly believe, no matter which way that debate at council went, I truly believe that all at council is very supportive of the membership and what we try to do and our vision and mission in providing community safety. And it's always a balancing act. So as chief, I get that enviable position to try to stay down the middle as best I can on it.
Well, that's interesting, because is there really any impact on community safety by not having six new officers instead of four?
100%. So when we heard loud and clear that we wanted to increase foot patrols in the downtown, we were able to piece that together with overtime. But as soon as there was the next issue that arose in the town, that was immediately eradicated. We were at such a capacity in relation to strength in numbers that we needed to do something different. Included in the presentation was the expert panel on police suicides, not for any dramatic effect other than to listen to the language that's really clearly in that expert panel. Now, these are doctors, these are coroners, these are experts in this field of mental health. And they speak very clearly of ensuring the authorized strength of a police service meets the needs of the community, but also its members. And like I said before, when you're constantly relying on overtime to do anything more than the basics, then you are at a risk where you're going to hurt your people. As chief of police, my responsibility is to ensure a safe community, but I always say my greater responsibility is to make sure that I'm creating a safe environment for my members.
So I'm not clear anymore. Is it better to have six or is it better to have four?
It's better to have 12, but everything comes in ratio. So right now, four is great. Six would have been better than great, but we are four better today than we were yesterday. So I always look at things as half full. So we are bringing on four new members to the service, which we haven't seen since this police service policed Hamilton Township. That's a long time ago. And that in itself will enable me to do a few different things by robust platoons and robust criminal investigations. We won't be able to go to the third unit, which is a crime community response unit. We're not going to get there with four, but we're going to have a robust platoon system and a robust criminal investigative team. So we're better today than yesterday.
What other budget items did you add this year?
Really, we had very little. And what you should really note is the 6.3% does not cover the cost of those constables. Those extra constables coming in were actually funded through the corporate services business center revenue. But what we really have coming forward is we have some information technology to ensure that our servers and everything are as safe as possible. We did have a cyber attack in Port Hope last year, so we had some of those issues in there. There's the annual renewal of a few fleet vehicles and a few other small odds and sods. But really, overall, the budget, the 6.3% on the tax levy keeps the lights on. We have insurance increases, gas increases, and a few different, and salaries. Again, bulk of the police budget does sit in salaries, around 89 or 90%. So the contractual increase is all attributed for what that 6.3 looks like.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought that the money generated from the police checks was supposed to go to capital items and not to operational expenses. Am I correct in that, or have I made a mistake?
Yeah, the MOU that was in existence with the town for the board, which I guess is still until a new one is created, there is room for an operational support, if you will, and we've had bled into that over the last few years. So that was part of the deliberation process for the board. The board really needed to understand the balancing of what the MOU looked for and the intent. And when you get into intents and black and white language, I think it's important to recognize the intent. And the intent around this is to ensure that Coburg is both innovative and is the best service for our community. And dipping into these funds has its risks. I'm not blind to that. But at the end of the day, they saw the need and the capacity and the willingness to cooperate with the municipality in sharing this burden, the financial burden.
When do you hope to hire the new officers?
We're at it already. Recruiting is such a unique thing in the province of Ontario for policing right now. So one of the four is already at the police college. We are already in the midst of the final interviews. Next to final interviews. And if they all work out well, I would hope to have the names of the four officers probably by mid-February.
There is a lot of emphasis on community safety. And you and I have spoken about it today. We've talked about it in the past. You've advocated for increasing the profile of the police in the community, as well as addressing, as you talked about today, the growing number of calls for service. How are any of these efforts going to be met with this budget? Well, we've talked about people, officers being on the street, but what other places in the budget can we see evidence that you are addressing these deep concerns about public safety?
Yeah, so our criminal investigative unit up to this point has been principally reactive. In other words, we're reacting to the issue in front of them, be it a sexual assault investigation, a complex fraud, or a search warrant for drugs and intelligence. By being able to increase that, double the size of that criminal investigative unit, all of those things will continue. But now we'll really be able to have a few extra hands so we can start being proactive and start working with our partners in both Port Hope and OPP on an intelligence-led, and that's the intelligence officer, the intelligence-led approach to guns and gangs from the GTA. That is really, really important. We've seen two involved shootings from the guns and gangs from the GTA in this community. So that is a significant shift that this budget will allow us to do. Having platoons go from minimums of three to minimums of four, and having up to six if everybody was at work and not training or not on holidays, that's just going to make us more visible. That's going to make us more apparent. That's going to make us more able to address the needs. I truly believe that Cobourg continues to be a safe place. We are being challenged like communities across Ontario are. You'll note that the new community, the new Comprehensive Police Services Act of Ontario calls for a community safety well-being plan to be created. We have that through the county. You'll note that the four key issues in that safety well-being plan are not one of them are core police functions. Not one of those things would you say is what the police are asked or trained to be the leaders on. Yet in our community, those four pillars, homelessness, addictions, poverty, and income stability, those are the things that so closely get tied to community safety that that's where we tend to live. So I did make that point as well, that the safety well-being plan, an important document, something we should all be striving for, doesn't address what people are telling me in my regular meetings with folks as I continue to be open with anybody who wants to speak with me.
The county and Transition House have partnered to purchase a building at 310 Division Street, which they hope to convert into a larger facility with additional services for Northumberland. What kind of impact is this going to have on the police service and the budget?
Yeah, well, listen, so currently we manage the issues that exist in and around Transition House and those folks on Chapel Street. Currently, we manage the issues in and around the encampment. Currently, we manage the issues in and around the warming room. Not to mean that we're dealing with them inside those places, because they tend to manage themselves with security or their own staff, but the impact on the neighborhood. Now we're moving all of those locations to one place. So one would think that, hey, it's one-stop shopping, so it'll make it easier. And I've said this many, many times. High-density living has high-density problems, be it million-dollar condos or what the new shelter is envisioned for. Be very clear, homelessness is not going away. There is no quick pill. There is no quick solution for this, nor is mental health or addictions. So we will continue to manage these in a proactive, empathetic, and informed enforcement-centered approach. My concern is 310 Division, when it opens, and I've met with the new executive director of Transition House, the chair of the board of Transition House. I've met with some neighbors who are concerned about 310 Division. And I say this very clearly. Before anyone moves in or becomes a resident of 310 Division, there has to be a binding agreement between all partners. It is not the police's responsibility to clean up garbage. It is not the police's responsibility to have smoke chase smoking or all of the other issues that happen. There needs to be a binding agreement between the county, the transition house, the municipality, that we all own a piece of it. We all own and are accountable to ensure this does not have a greater impact on the residents in the neighborhood. Full stop. Whitby is the model. Whitby did work with the upper tier in Durham Regional to come up with an agreement that causes and speaks to many things. And I support a lot of what's in that agreement. And I'm really hopeful that prior to turning the key on this location, that an agreement is in place.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.